I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. My name is Howell. This is Jamie.
Sup.
And this is Matthew from London.
Eight.
So, last podcast was very dramatic. It was very long. It was very dramatic. Tonight, hopefully, he's going to live up to that. And don't forget that you can get in touch with us by emailing... Who the hell is doing that? What's that? Flicky flicky noise. Unbelievable.
Me, sorry.
How many of these podcasts have started with Jamie somehow?
Just a little bit of Morse code there for you.
Yeah.
I was turning the volume up on my headphones. I couldn't hear everything properly. Carry on.
Where was I? Dramatic last time. And don't forget, Christmas is coming. If you want to get somebody you love a T-shirt that they'll love, well, why don't you go to theboxsetpod.com? Jeez. Most podcasts have like adverts every 5 minutes pushing their merchandise. We've mentioned it twice ever. No wonder it's not flipping selling. Get to theboxsetpod.com and you will find a beautiful T-shirt hand-selected by us on any number of TV series. They're genuinely very... I've got one myself. I think I'm the only person who's bought one. It's one of the best T-shirts I've got, and the material's lovely. Made by Team Public.
I think the problem is that people, are going to want what they want, and you have created a T-shirt that doesn't include your podcast's biggest asset, which is my face.
Yeah, we should have one called Matt's Dungeon, shouldn't we?
We should have a Box Set Pod T-shirt. That might sell better.
Yeah, because if, like, Walking Dead-themed ones aren't selling...
we don't actually have a Box Set Pod T-shirt.
We do. We have loads of Box Set Pod merchandise. And there's tote bags, there's baseball shirts.
We do.
All sorts. It's great. TheBoxSetPod.com. Get there.
Can I just say this about T-shirts as well? Is that what I find with T-shirts is after 6 to 7 months, the armpits get rather claggy and stiffened.
Well, that's because...
I would recommend you change them on a regular basis and so buy more T-shirts.
Great selling point.
You don't want to get claggy pits.
If you, like Jamie, sweat a lot and then wear the same T-shirt for a week, clearly, the... sweat.
Do you not get? The only one who gets stiff?
How many days
here?
Do you wear them for?
Yeah, how many?
No, I only wear a T-shirt for at most 3 to 4 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's not a lot. That's why we're laughing, right?
No, that's one day. One day is enough.
Who are you?
What are you talking about? T-shirts is like 4 to 6 days.
Are you joking? Yeah. No. No, you're getting claggy pits because you're
weird. How have you got enough T-shirts to wear one every day?
Yeah, I've got loads of T-shirts.
Just because you sweat through them every day, Howell.
Wow. Howell Moneybags Evans.
Wow.
No.
Endless collection of T-shirts.
Amazing. So if you've got claggy pits, go to theboxsetpod.com and get yourself a T-shirt. Genuinely, you must have someone in mind. You know the Christmas list. Guys, you must have somebody on that list that you don't know that well. Maybe a partner of a sibling or something like that. And you're thinking, what am I going to get him? Here you go. For like £7, I can chuck in an awesome looking T-shirt. Can you think of someone who that would be good for?
My great-grandma.
Probably you, I would think. Or
me?
Mr. Changing his T-shirts every day.
That's right. I look forward to receiving my gift in the post. Tonight, we're going to discuss a number of things. There will be some spoilers around The Walking Dead, probably, but probably not more than that. So let's just kick off with that, because of the last podcast, in fact, the last two podcasts, I was alone in my excitement. And I believe now both Matthew and Jamie have watched at least up to the episode when Andrew Lincoln departs. So, yep. Cool. Jamie, why don't you go first? What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, it's worth saying about season 9 in general is that it's better. It feels better. You know, it's nice to see that the storytellers who were good at it, who seem to be involved in this series, started focused, strong, dramatic, tensions building, and I've really enjoyed the slow build. Let's get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, I mean, me and the listeners discussed this last week, didn't we? I mean, we were all ahead of it. It's you that's late to the party. We just want
to
know.
Yeah, but I mean, you can see season 9 is definitely better, isn't it?
Way better. It's brilliant. It's a new thing.
Isn't it a shame, though, that we didn't have these people involved for the Negan storylines that were actually going to... I just feel like they really missed a trick with the whole Negan thing now.
You have to. Well, you have to.
I think
season
7 was good, and I think season 8 dropped off.
Yeah, you have to scorch the earth before something else can grow. You know.
They
needed to. They should have done it sooner, but they needed to get to that point. And it's just great. And the end of the episode you haven't watched just now is another great sort of Western moment and stuff. There's just some wonderful. It's just a Western. She's gone. She's done.
Why don't we just talk about what we're talking about?
Yeah, I am.
Your vague allusions to what's just happened.
No. The whole series, the whole of this series, she's gone, this is a Western. And she's done what we've hoped for a long time, which is stop overcomplicating everything. Get back to this kind of, you know, computer game mentality of all of this and just make something simple but dead classy and well told. That seems to be what they've done.
I think what they're doing... They're just moving the story on into another stage of evolution.
Yes.
And they alluded to it a lot in last series. But I really like the kind... And I don't think it's that simple, though. There's a lot of kind of complicated political undercurrent going on in the camps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the... most interesting thing about it to start with was this kind of how can this work, is this possible to work? And then obviously I mean I really enjoyed the Rick's final episode. It became pretty clear early on, like they were definitely ramping up towards an exit. I was quite pleased, actually, because I was getting so annoyed that Garbage Lady was in it at all. But every time... I was so annoyed by her being in it that I didn't spot the obvious ending to the episode, which was going to be him being chopped away.
Do you
remember when we first talked about Rick leaving the series?
Yeah.
I feel like it was me who said it, but I'm perfectly willing to believe that it was someone else who said that this is what they should do. They should not kill him, just have him leave.
Oh, yeah.
And have the opportunity to bring him back in some way.
Yeah, you might have said that. And I'm so glad that they did. I was so pleased with that ending. We'll come on to that. So what else did you enjoy about it, Jamie? What did you enjoy? I found myself watching it like a football match, going, yes! Because I kept it, after last series, I always expect them to do something or make a move that's going to be clangingly awful. And it wasn't. It was like scene on scene. I was like, yes, I can't think of a better way of doing this.
I think they just pulled it off, didn't they? It was a nicely crafted and fitting tribute to Rick. And you know, the flash hallucinations... It was great seeing, first of all, what's his face, John Bernthal, turn up and have that moment in the police car with him. And just like there's some lovely touches and seeing the development, understanding Rick's journey fully, and getting to see what he's experienced and how he's gone through this process in the apocalyptic environment to where he is now. And it was really just cleverly done. Perfect ending.
Yeah, and the simplicity of it. Well, it didn't, like in the last series, if that had been done under the previous management, you would have had a flashback to every bloody character he'd ever met. You know, you would have had his wife in there and you would have had Carl turning up and it would have been too much. And that's another example of where I was starting to think, oh, I hope we don't do more. And they didn't, they just did Shane and they did Herschel. And they did What's Her Name, who I can't stand from Star Trek. But it was lovely. They didn't overdo it. The whole episode didn't need to be an art piece. It was still a really good story of a man walking a herd away from...
Yeah. And that ending was brilliant. The bridge scene was really well done. Like, I loved that moment where you're waiting for the bridge to go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go, and you're like, oh, shit. And then there's that great moment between him and Daryl. Daryl knows what he's going to do. He knows he's going to shoot the dynamite. You can see it in his eyes. And there's it was a really powerful moment where it worked. It worked dramatically. Oh. It was just...
Fantastic.
Yeah, you're crying, Matt.
Yeah,
Matt.
No, sorry, I dropped out and came back in, but I did cry at the end of when he was blowing up the bridge.
Did you? Yeah. You want to try some 50 milligrams of antidepressants?
No, I thought we discussed this last week. I'm already
you're already lost.
I can't stop crying. I can't stop it.
Oh, I'm glad it moved you. And that's another example of where, you know, it's been compared to a Western a lot. It's not me making this constant analogy, but the reason that I say it works so well in this world is that although they might have four or five different things going on at once, quite often you find that people have one simple objective, which will be, in Rick's case, you know, you've got the whole episode pinned around, man has to get from point A to point B, even if you don't know where the point B is until it's revealed. And right through until the end, so you see them all appear, and I'm thinking, oh, please let this not be a dream where they come and save him. And it was a dream, but then they still all appear at point B, just out of reach, and it's just this simple strategy game, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. It just allows everything else to breathe on top of that. It allows great dialogue and great action and everything, you know.
And it just also feels like with the bridge blowing up, it was the destruction of Rick's dream utopia in the future going with it, almost like this idea of building a world together with communities all working as one. That bridge's destruction was a perfect sort of kind of end of his own like desire to create something.
So I have one real world criticism of this episode, and it's to do with the explosion. It's to do with what follows. Can you guess?
No.
No, I can't.
When all the walkers were piling into the water, and when you subsequently saw all the walkers floating down the water, they were charcoal pieces, weren't they?
Some of them were on fire.
Yeah, but a lot of them were like literally blackened, sort of an absolute mess from the fire. And then we pan right, and Rick Grimes, without a bit of charcoal on his body, has managed to survive that. Not even burned.
Well, he wasn't on the bridge. The way I saw it, the power of the explosion blew him sort of sideways down the embankment into the river.
Okay.
Yeah, he would have been hit by the fire. Yeah.
I'll accept that. He fell sideways into the river. Yeah.
Do you know what I thought was a shame there? I mean, again, from a real world perspective, was that clearly if we'd had our ideal set of people in his flashbacks, we would have had Laurie and we would have had Carl.
Yeah.
And Glenn.
Yeah.
And they were conspicuous by their absence. And you know what? You can only imagine that was down to contractual shenanigans. Must have been.
I would imagine so, but I'm so glad because I'd had enough. I thought that was just enough flashback time.
Who was there that I didn't give a fuck about? I can't think who it was now.
It was Sasha, wasn't
Sasha.
It?
Sasha. It's like, oh, Sasha, what amazing influence you had on my life.
Oh, I hate her.
I do agree. I think the one glaring one for me was Glenn, you know, because a lot of this series has been about, like, honouring Glenn, hasn't it? Honouring his memory and for what Negan did to him.
Yeah.
And I thought that needed to be there. But yeah, you're right. It's probably a contractual issue, I imagine. Yeah.
So thinking back now, and bearing in mind what you said about the helicopter before, Matt, that was potentially a bit of retroactive fitting there because Andrew Lincoln, like I mentioned last week, Andrew Lincoln wasn't sure when he was going to leave. So the helicopter thing existed in the whole of the last series. Before he made the decision, he was going to be leaving at the end of that series, which would mean that the helicopter plot would have taken on a different meaning, or they had no idea what was going to come of it.
That would explain why no one ever mentioned the helicopter last series.
Yeah, yeah. So do we both know, do you both know what's happening to Rick now?
No.
Oh, no. This is why I was so bloody excited last week, boys. This is it. Oh, and I get to tell you.
No, you don't get to tell me.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
It's not a spoiler.
I'm going to hang up the fucking phone if you're not careful.
It's not a spoiler. It's not a spoiler. It's not something you're going to find out in the next episode. It's something they've announced. You just haven't found out. And it's brilliant. So, Andrew Lincoln, in his post-Walking Dead interview, stated
that
Rick Grimes is now going to appear in a number of Walking Dead AMC movies. You are going to see Rick in another part of the universe, i.e. what you've always wanted, Matt. Sounds like Beyond the Perimeter in some way.
Oh, okay.
That is bloody exciting, because there's not one thought in my head that says, oh no, that could be bad, because I just don't think Andrew Lincoln would have signed on to this if it wasn't going to be done properly and done well. There's no way.
No, that is exciting. Although that has just reminded me of how completely ambiguous I was about the end of the episode.
What do you mean? Oh, as in you really weren't sure whether you wanted him to have survived?
No, as in 5 years pass.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I have actually, I've often thought about the character of Judith Grimes and what she'd be like in the post-apocalyptic wasteland. And this is basically what I imagined.
And it's not giving anything away to say that actress is bloody brilliant. I think she's amazing.
Well, it does give something away, but I'm happy to have it given away, which is that, so they didn't just give us a glimpse of the future. This is where we're starting.
This
from
is where now, we are so. Now. This is where we are. And do you know what?
That's a lot to ask, though.
Yeah.
Well, it is, but, you know, I'll be interested to hear what you think, because, you know, I was worried for so long. What would it be like?
Well, I'm probably going to watch it right after I hang up this. I'm going to watch the next two episodes tonight,
well,
I think.
In that last series, you know, I found it so frustrating when Andrew Lincoln wasn't on screen. I was always one that believed Rick made The Walking Dead. And I'll say, I didn't even think about it once in this last one. I think it's I think they've really, really moved on to a different thing, and it's just great. It's great.
Well, I suppose it means they get to sidestep the aftermath of Rick's passing.
Yes, which we've probably seen enough of.
And it's almost like they have, in a very roundabout way, it's almost like they've started a whole new series, because one of the problems, I think, with The Walking Dead thing I've always thought is the idea that it just carries on into the infinity and it doesn't have an end point. Killing off Rick, or not killing off, but having him out of the storyline and almost taking on a new kind of new main characters, well, to an extent, you know. I think that's almost like they get to refresh and just press the reset button and go somewhere new as a series, as a brand new kind of series structure.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because if you look at series 1, 2, 3, those three certainly, they are much more Rick-centric in terms of the where the narrative drive comes from. And then 4 is sort of where it starts to diverge away from him. And then 5, it kind of comes back. 6, it's all over the place. And 7 and 8 as well. There's lots of people to focus on, lots of aspects of it to focus on, and there's more than one location to look at, whereas before it's really just his journey.
Yes, and whenever they've strayed from it before, I think they've struggled a bit. I think it's always been a little bit like the Rick Grimes is the iPhone of the movie world, in that if you don't own an iPhone, you're thinking about the iPhone. And in this new one, you are not really asking where Rick is. We've gone from the brutal sort of dark ages to now sort of this medieval western thing. I keep saying western, but it's very village like you know, that humanity is moving on, and that becomes interesting. We don't have to go through the old stuff.
It's been a while since we've had a really obscure Howl metaphor.
Yes. Yeah.
But well, I do like the idea that Rick Grimes is an iPhone. I don't really understand it, but...
Yeah, well, you're always having to think about that thing if you haven't got it. And in the new world, you don't have to think about that thing, even if it's kind of formed the world a little bit. You're not kind of going, oh, but we're waiting for the good stuff. It is good. Can you just remind me the very last thing that happened on that episode, please, just to check that I'm not going to spoil something?
What's her face? Well, Judith did someone with a bow, I think.
What about just before that?
There were a bunch of people in a field getting surrounded by walkers.
And was there anything happening with Eugene?
No, he was just left distraught. There was nothing. You never saw him in the future or anything like that.
All right. So have you got two more to watch then?
Two, yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay. All right. Well, there's another very interesting development that you're about to see that is you're going to want to discuss. So we'll save that. It's an entire world. It's like the rules of the zombie world has changed in some ways. But we'll see. Anyway, anything else to discuss on Walkie? Can you see why I was so excited and wanted to talk with my friends about it last week? 2 weeks ago? Nope. Okay.
Sorry, say that again?
I said, can you see why I was so excited and wanted to talk about it with you?
Yes, I definitely do, yeah. I mean, it was one of the most... what's the word I'm looking for? Most important episodes that there has ever been.
I'd say it's the best episode they've had in 3 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and
it's been a while. Although I don't know about that. I thought some of the Negan stuff was very good. Yeah. But Negan stuff when he was just terrifying.
Yes, that was scary. Yeah. But after that, you were never 20 minutes away from a crowbar of some kind, were you? That you just felt, oh, someone's forcing this storyline. What's this? Bin dipper. And that episode is just flawless. Flawless. So, moving on. Matthew, you've been watching Killing Eve. You've been catching up on that.
Yeah. I haven't finished it yet. But, I mean, have you guys seen all of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you love it to bits?
Loved it to
bits. Fantastic.
You don't.
What? Well, I mean, I think I've had it overhyped for me because right. I'm five episodes down, and like, there. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's bad, but I don't understand the fever about it.
Oh, shoot! I mean,
no. Well, I mean,
suppose
yeah,
it's just
not...
that the BBC haven't made something as good as this for a long time. It was like it could sit on Netflix quite well.
I disagree with that. I think it's got big old BBC patches on it.
Yeah, like what?
Well, like the stupid van they used to go and kill the tall bloke in the countryside.
Right.
And the Russian agent who's making them hot fruit cake.
Okay.
And just the kind of low budgetness of that whole sequence. And really all of the kind of assassin stuff is also kind of, I don't particularly care about this. It's not a big problem for me, but I think it really stands out as a lower budget thing than most shows do these days.
Really stands
really?
Out. Wow. I would not surprise. Say that.
Everything about it, like the kind of low tech computer guy who.
Okay, I'll give you that.
He's just a bit of a weird character, and some of the stuff that happens with him is a bit weird. I like Sandra Oh. I'm enjoying Fiona Shaw. I don't really get the assassin herself.
Jodie Comer.
Yeah.
What?
I feel like they established what she was doing in the first episode or so, and now they're just kind of drumming they're banging the same drum with.
Wow, I think we've just lost Matthew.
It's the first episode.
Oh, there he is.
Sorry, did you lose me there for a sec?
Yeah, but you weren't saying anything interesting, so it's fine.
That's true. That's true.
Wow, I think that all of the performances in this are some of the best I've seen. I had none of my usual problems with British actors.
Yeah, definitely do. But we just had the scene where Oksana, is that her name?
Yeah.
Oksana comes to Eve's house.
Yeah.
And they have dinner together. And I thought that was really good. You know, she appears in her house and then
Oksana
kind of forces her into the bath. Isn't that her name? Is that her name?
Eve. Yeah, that's a real name. Eve's house, yeah. Villanelle is the sort of her name is
La Villanelle. Yeah.
The Sandra Oh plays Eve.
Yes, that's what I said. Yeah. Eve's house.
Yeah. Okay, so you've just had that bit. The only thing that I found a bit hammy was, not hammy, but a bit, I knew what was coming, was when her colleague is having a big chat with her about his life in the hotel room, and I thought, oh, getting a lot of information about this character all of a sudden, I think I'll give him 6 minutes.
What, David Hague?
Yeah.
I mean, he just looked all kinds of out of place, really.
Oh, Matthew. Jamie, how are you feeling about this?
Maybe it's just because I'm not au fait with British intelligence, and maybe I should be feeling like a bit more smiley people about the whole thing.
You certainly do not have British intelligence. No. Jamie, take it away.
I think that the budget, you talk about the budget or the feel of it, this is a show that is, because its tone is extremely, like, it's quite dismissive and fun and
true
cruel, and it so stuff like you don't even care that maybe this couldn't happen and maybe this isn't set in a real world to an extent, because it feels just so, you know, surprising, and
the plausibility of it is not something I've commented on. I don't have a problem with that,
and it makes you laugh, and then it makes you, and it surprises you in kind of horrific ways, and then it's quite moving in places. I think it manages to do a lot of things that a good thriller, you don't see a lot of thrillers do these days. Thrillers being able to make you smile at times and make you, and also making you care about the character Villanelle, who is, you know, a pretty horrible psychopath in some ways, is an achievement in itself. But the budget, I didn't even really consider whether things looked a bit naff or not, because I was enjoying the sort of being in that playful, weird, sadistic but funny world that had been created, and I didn't really mind any of the other stuff. I'm surprised.
No, and to be fair, I only commented on the budget aspect of it because Hal brought it up. But you did. You said it because you thought it could stand alongside Netflix stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's the case.
Oh,
but,
I do.
It's not even that I think it's bad. I think it's got some really good aspects to it, and I'm not blown away by it in any way. I'm just kind of, it's like, oh, this is fine, you know, this is
fun.
All fine.
Fun is the word that I agree with Jamie with. There was nothing about it that's got my back up as often British drama does. Nothing that embarrassed me about going to drama school. I think that Jodie Comer's phenomenal. I think she's magnificent. I think that yes, you're kind of right. There is, I certainly had those thoughts halfway through of kind of like, well, we're kind of, is this it? We're just repeating this. Yeah, okay. So she fancies her, and does she fancy her back? Is that what's going
on? Well, I haven't even got to that part, but I've heard that's an aspect that grows in the story. But it's like this whole thing of her kind of being psychopathic and able to feign these emotions but not actually mean them, and then she kind of giggles and passes it off.
Well,
happened three or four times, and it's like,
you have got what? There when she comes out of the bathroom as the nurse in the first episode, and she doesn't kill her, she kills everybody else on the floor but not her. That look she gives her and complimenting her hair, they're both transfixed with each other, and then sending her the dresses and then coming to her house for tea. It's all about...
All right, then it's not been made explicit at all.
It's but, pretty explicit. It's pretty explicit.
Okay, fine. Fine.
sorry, go on. Go on.
It's just I don't feel like she's been played with an awful lot of subtlety. And maybe that's fine, but it just got a bit old for me by the point we're at now. And I hated the kind of the plot with the two other assassins and the tall bloke being locked out in the safe house. It was just so hammy.
What did you think of the moment when she stopped the car to go and talk to her?
Stopped the car to go and talk to her like that. Yeah, you know, fairly interesting.
I thought that was nice when she did it, but I wouldn't think in a million years that she'd do it. Having just spent the last 10 minutes desperately trying to get the car in gear to escape, to then stop because you want to try and, like, do some horse whispering to the psychopath just seemed really weird to me. Seemed like an odd choice. But
it's a fascination, isn't it?
Yeah, in terms of Jodie Comer's range, though, because you said it's a bit, you know, it's not that, whatever you said, dimensional or whatever.
I said it wasn't very subtle.
Well, it wasn't very subtle.
I think that seems like a choice, not because she's not capable of it.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's the character, isn't it? You can only move... A psychopath moving towards empathy is only going to be one or two steps, probably, isn't it? It's just sort of knocking on the door in her head that she might care about somebody other than herself, I suppose.
I think it's quite an original show as well. I can't think of anything that... There's not many shows like this out. That's why I found it really refreshing when I started watching it. Me and Lauren...
Mm. What, a detective and a killer with a relationship?
Like, yeah, but fun. Not funny, sexy.
Yeah, not necessarily the kind of plot, but the whole tone of it in a thriller kind of plot line was just really kind of... It's a delicate balancing act. And the reason it pulled off is because Phoebe Waller-Bridge is brilliant... A writer, but
yeah,
I just hadn't seen much. The only thing, the thing that it reminds me of, the thing that I can compare it to is something like No Offense, which I don't know if you've seen that on Channel 4, which is written by Paul Abbott, right. And he has that kind of sensibility of just being sort of funny but hitting on rather serious and dramatic kind of material. And this had that kind of same kind of tone about it, and I really liked it. I found it really. The fact that I was watching a psychopathic killer thriller and I wanted to watch episode after episode. I didn't feel like it was getting too heavy ever.
No, it does the thing that people don't do now, and it lets you, that certainly we're not used to in TV killer crime stories, which is it let you enjoy the killing as well. That was the thing. There's always a level somewhat of it being horrendous, and also you're sort of on her side in a weird way as well. And you don't get that. And any step further one way, you'd have been in... I understand your criticism, Matt, because it was like any step one way, you could have been in Hogwarts. You know, when they... Not Hogwarts, but the Harry Potter world. Like, when they're setting up the new office in London and stuff, and it's secret. You're right, it all felt like a little bit pap, perhaps, at times. But I didn't mind that because it didn't go in the direction of slapstick and all-out comedy. It just seemed to have a nice, fun bounce to it whilst the actors are playing it for realsies.
Sure. Okay.
Let's see what happens when you finish it anyway. Maybe.
But yeah, yeah. I'm going to watch it all, so...
I don't think you'll like the end. I don't think you'll like the end.
Yeah, I don't think you will.
Because I wasn't all that keen on that whole end scene. That was the only bit for me that felt a little bit...
Well, see, to me it feels... I feel very similar to how I feel when I'm watching Sherlock when I watch this.
Right, right. Now, you are listening to the Box Set Pod, and don't forget Christmas is coming, and if you'd like to buy a T-shirt, why don't you go to theboxsetpod.com, where you can find a variety of designs, both around the podcast, but also your favourite box sets. Now back to the show. Up next tonight...
Jeez. Can we not get like a Zip Recruiter advert in this podcast?
Well,
they do everybody.
Well, Acast whack their adverts in. We may as well put our own in. Homecoming is the name of another podcast, and it was a very popular podcast.
It's... yeah. How
you didn't know?
I did know. I didn't know you knew that, though.
Yes. I listen to podcasts. David, sorry, not David. What's his name? Ross from Friends was in the podcast series. Schwimmer was in the podcast series, but he's not in this. Julia Roberts has made her TV box set debut. And Jamie,
I haven't seen this yet.
You haven't seen it, Matt. Jamie's been watching it. Jamie, why don't you tell us what you think?
Well, I mean, basically, it's on Amazon, and it's been... Basically, the plot is Julie Roberts plays this woman called Heidi, who's like a therapist in this homecoming support centre for military personnel who've got PTSD, who've come back from the battle from wars in Afghanistan and wherever. And they're there, they think, to try out this new therapy. Well, they don't realise... this isn't a major spoiler, this is given to you quite early on, is that their food is being drugged with a new kind of drug they're piloting that they're hoping will help cure the PTSD, but the soldiers don't know that they're taking this. Is somebody snoring?
Yeah, Matt, you're going to listen back to this podcast and realise quite how many sound effects you created on this.
Oh, really? I do apologise.
It's all right. I'm a snore breather.
Oh, it's nothing compared to when Jamie does it. Nothing at all. No. That's why I didn't comment.
Anyway, that's the basic plot. What's the thing about this show is that there are only like 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So that premise sounds quite heavy, but it's only 30 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
It's not that long, and it does a lot with its 30 minutes. It gets a lot in there, and it crams a lot of interesting stuff in there. You're taken back to when she was a therapist, and in the present, she's now a waitress, and you're kind of trying to figure out how things all went wrong within this homecoming therapy centre that she was working.
I've watched about three or four of these, and you've given away more than I've actually been told so far.
Shit, I apologise.
It's all right, but... But that's okay. The only issue I have with this, and I think it's good, but we're not compelled to go back to it. I'm not sure about the style. I'm not sure whether the style is entirely unique or confused, because they keep using a kind of VHS camera style on a certain plot, right? And I can't get away from just knowing that that's what's going on, you know, and then sometimes it kind of works, because I go, is this playing at being like an 80s Columbo type show? That's what it feels like sometimes, is that they're genuinely making Columbo and it's got a kitschness to it. And then sometimes I think we're being asked to care deeper than that. Is that unique or is that annoying? Did it annoy you?
Yeah, there were times that it did. Early on, I found the style quite hard to get used to, and the guy who's directed it, Sam Esmail, is the guy behind Mr. Robot, and Mr. Robot started off very good, but I got more and more annoyed by that, and I do worry with this show is that it can get a little bit, it can grate, the style can grate, and the sort of tone can grate a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it can get a little bit like you are watching a grainy old thing or something. Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily, like, fascinated by it. I don't think it's brilliant. I think there's some really good performances. I think Julia Roberts is... It's good to see her in it. I've not seen her in much recently.
Yeah.
And she's looking good and she's doing a good job.
Yes.
And also Shea Whigham, who plays the detective, kind of the Columbo style.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a detective. He works for the Defense Department of Defense, but he's kind of investigating the case. He's brilliant in it as well. And also her bullying boss, played by Bobby Cannavale, who's one of my favourite TV actors. He's in so many good things on TV.
I like a bit of Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, in Boardwalk Empire, that series.
Except in Boardwalk Empire.
What? Oh, my God.
Never fails. He never fails, does he? Step
that
away
is weird.
Minds.
When he came into Boardwalk Empire was when I stopped watching it.
Oh, no. He
I found him really irritating.
Oh, I thought he was brilliantly menacing.
Sorry, man. To be fair, I didn't give him an awful lot of time, I can't say an awful lot about it. But it was because Jimmy Darmody had left more than because he had come into it.
Oh, yeah,
I think if you've got Amazon Prime, this is worth spending a bit of time on. But I also think that its strongest form is as a audio drama, actually. And I think if you, you know, for example, Julie Roberts is great, but I think you were one step away there, and the other guy, and her main patient is great. Both brilliant actors. Yeah. But I'm not, you're never convinced of their feelings towards each other. You're never quite sold on that. And it feels like, because the style is still slightly enlarged in the way that it has to be for a radio play, the dialogue is still, is almost verbatim what it is on the podcast. And in a radio play, you know, if you imagine that, quite often they're written quite demonstratively. Somebody comes in and goes, oh, hi, how long have you been here? And then we have a few seconds where there's sound effects of the cafe so that we know we're in the cafe. Yeah, I've just been working since 8 o'clock. Right, I like cafe. And when you transpose that to the screen, there's just something that feels like there's, it's a bit dry or a little bit, doesn't feel slow, but there's something odd about that, like you're watching a piece of theatre on TV, perhaps a little bit. I don't know.
I'll tell you, the podcast cast is brilliant as well. Catherine Keener, David Schwimmer, and Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, they got a big one.
Give that a go.
That's how you get listeners. You don't get bloody Matthew Wanless as your regular guest. You get David Schwimmer. That's how you get listeners. Let's move
on. Pulling in the crowds, mate.
Speaking of style, pace, and Matthew Wanless criticisms, it was mentioned recently that Better Call Saul, Matt was struggling, trudging through the mire there, and isn't a great fan of that. And we made a proposition that was, the closer you get to Breaking Bad, the more difficult it is to care, because you feel like you know how it's going to end. Well, my wife and I have struggled on with Better Call Saul, and all of a sudden, a couple of nights ago, we found ourselves hooked on it like Breaking Bad. And the last, I would say the last 4 or 5 episodes of that series is just about as good as Breaking Bad for me. I really, really enjoyed it. Every scene rattled on to the next. They surprised you with every scene. You had little games and tricks, you know, Mike up to no good. And there wasn't one sequence that was, you know, 15 minutes of somebody knitting a wicker basket or something. It was really good, really ramping up. Did you find that, Jamie?
It did get better by the end, yeah. It just, I was very disappointed with the first half of the series. It just didn't know what it was doing, and what it was doing wasn't even that interesting. It thought it was more interesting than it was. Now, I love Better Call Saul. I've banged that drum to you know, hell and back, but this series has been the first time I've been disappointed by it. And, yeah, it does pull it round at the end, and there's some really good moments.
It's difficult because the story they're telling about him for the first hour of the half of that series really is about a man in denial of grief. And there's a real trudging nature to that. And when things start to change, it becomes a lot more interesting. And you really see the change. You understand a lot about his character and his relationship with her and the character that we knew in Breaking Bad. It really sets that up well. Will this be the last series of this?
There's one more series to come, and that's it, I believe, anyway. Because they're going to do the same as with Breaking Bad, 5 series. Right. 5 series will cover it.
And will you continue with this, Matt, or have you just jumped ship?
At the moment, I've dropped it.
Yeah,
but that's only because, like, I don't watch that much at the moment. I'm trying to balance time between watching TV, playing Red Dead, and I've been plowing through Parks and Rec as well, which is so good. But I'm coming to the end of that now, so I think that'll take a back seat. And I'm going to have to find something to fill my time up a bit more. But also, it's X Factor season. Which,
good Lord. You know,
unfortunately, that is how low I will go.
Oh, dear me. Oh, dear
that's,
me.
That, hey, look, that's my shit. That's the shit that I watch.
So, listen, but, that's the Sinner season 2. Have we done that?
No, let's not talk about. Can we talk about something that I've actually watched?
Yes.
Can we talk about Norsemen a little bit?
Okay, so I was extolling the virtues of Norsemen. I think Matt's about to tell me that he hated it. Go.
Yeah.
What?
I watched the first episode to see if... Because to be honest, when you were describing it, I thought that doesn't sound very good.
not that you'd made your mind up, but yes, carry on.
No, but like... Okay. And then I watched it, and I just thought,
that's not very good.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Have you watched any, Jamie?
No, but I don't think I'm going to at this rate.
You'll love it.
Go on. Well, no, Howell likes it, so why would you not trust him over me?
Well, let's flip that round a minute. Who has stepped on the bombs in this podcast, Jamie, with some controversial... Doesn't like Killing Eve, for example.
I do like Killing Eve. I just don't think it's... I don't think it's like, holy shit, have you seen Killing Eve? Oh, my gosh.
So you didn't crack a smile at Norseman, then?
No, I really didn't.
Good Lord, man.
It's just like, it's a bunch of... It, like, you know, they... Actually, there was one thing that made me laugh, and I can't think what it was.
Wow.
But it was to do with the guy who's a slave who thinks that he's in a holiday camp.
That's brilliant. I mean, just that as a gag, Jamie. A slave who chooses to be there. I mean, that's just brilliant. He's free to go anytime, but he just loves it too much.
That's not his character.
Yes, it is. I've watched three series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, fine. You've watched three series.
Good were you week. Actually watching it, or were you on your phone or something?
I watched it.
Okay.
What, is there three series?
Maybe
this?
Two. Maybe two. I think three.
Can't have got more than one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, it's very, very popular with people... people with a sense of humour, they
people
love
aged
it.
12 to 30. No,
but right, Jamie.
It's just like they get
challenge.
A central premise, and then everything is hooked on that. It's like it reminds me of that film, The Invention of Lying.
Oh my God!
Where it's like, you know, there's this basic idea behind it, and then they just kind of. Try and find as many ways for it to be amusing, and I don't think it's very well realized. Mm. I lost track of how many times the actors said "I mean," which is to me is like the hallmark of not very well put together improv.
Yeah,
and also like there's so many things that you can just call before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know.
I certainly agree that their editing could have been better of the improvisation. There is certainly, the style is that there is a proposition and the joke goes on a long time. But I accepted that and really enjoyed it and think that they're some of the funniest actors and Norwegian actors performing in English that I've seen. I love them. And it's him from, it's Trond Fauser, Jamie, from... Lilyhammer, is in it.
Oh.
You know the one, don't you?
Yeah.
He's psychic.
Yeah.
Jamie, your challenge is to watch episode one by next time, all right? And then at least you can...
absolutely.
Dangle
absolutely.
Your balls on this fence.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm sorry, Matt, but I thank you for making an effort. It's...
I'm sorry too, Hal. I wanted to like it, but I did not.
Look, it's not your fault. It's probably your parents' fault. They probably didn't play you enough comedy. Don't blame yourself for it. Just don't blame yourself.
I'm very happy with my comedic chops.
Okay. And if Matt's dad still listens to this podcast and he wants to watch episode one of The Norseman, please do email me and let me know what you thought. theboxsetpod@gmail.com. No, that's
wrong. I guess
wrong.
This might
studio at theboxsetpod.com. Studio at theboxsetpod.com. If it appeals to your dad... It further proves that your dad is my favourite wandless.
Well, did he like that you liked? I can't remember what it was that we disagreed on.
I can't remember, but it's all your books, wasn't it? Was it the Jack Reacher things or something like that? You'd read, or he'd read the books, and anyway.
He'd read the books, yeah.
He slagged me off. He slagged me off once, but I accept that.
He definitely did.
do you know what? When you're the president of anything... You are going to get criticised, and I can accept that even from your wonderful dad.
What are you the president of?
This podcast.
Self-elected, self-appointed.
The Good Place. Are you both watching The Good Place?
Yes.
Isn't it just the best, Jamie?
It's good fun. It's good fun.
It's the smartest popular TV comedy that I've ever seen. It's so smart.
Brilliant. Why should I go back to it? I didn't like I loved series one. I thought it was great, really good. And I started on series two, and just the whole premise seemed flawed after that.
Right.
Because I thought the original idea was such a good one, but then when they tore it all down, I didn't like it.
Okay.
And I found the first few episodes just a bit boring and a bit obvious. Well, but you're not the only people who have said that it's really good and carries on to be really good. And some of the same people who told me I would like Parks and Rec and I didn't listen to are saying I would like The Good Place. So I am toying with the idea of getting back into it.
Well, I think that it continues when it's at its best, that show. And
Jamie, what do you think?
Well, I do kind
don't
of
forget that I
point.
Can turn you guys down now and just do it myself.
Yeah, I still haven't listened to what you said last week.
Oh, you missed a treat. Go on, Jamie.
I kind of agree with both of you on this, but I kind of understand why you left it, Matt. I do understand that. But the thing is, with a comedy that, like, I'm still watching it. We're still really kind of into it. It has there's always a moment where we really find it funny. That it's really well done in place. It's just that this is a comedy. When comedies are based around a concept, like a high concept like this, the struggle is, if you buy into it, and the concept then gets compromised, and it's hard to sort of stay with it sometimes, even though you still find it funny. Like you said, I don't even know what's going on with the plot anymore.
Well, I think
do you, Howell?
Yeah.
No, I agree with you in the sense that they couldn't have carried on beyond series one with what they had set up.
Well, I think you're misunderstanding what they set up. I think what they set up is, how do you deal with different, quite profound philosophical theories and turn it into a 20-minute TV show or however long
it is. No, because in the first series, the premise was that The Good Place was The Good Place.
Yeah, but there
by
was
the
still
end of
being
it,
there
that
was,
had been torn down.
Yes, but they were still being tested. So in the first series, he was educating her on philosophical on what it means to be good or whatever. But
yes, they widened the scope to the point. It was almost similar to what they did with Rick and Morty, where they gave it infinite possibilities.
Well, I think that I understand the lull, but I think the last few episodes, I think most of the episodes, still they're pinning back to these sort of really good basic questions. A bit like the episode with the trolley cart, you know, the decision, do you turn away and hit two people or do you hit 12? There's a lot more of that, I think, and it's about things like love and then if you flick from that and put something else that's on kind of normal TV, because it is also on normal TV in America, so much smart, and I just think comedically it's so much better written. There isn't a bad line. I love the characters. I think Ted Danson is a legend. I just love it.
I love Ted Danson. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't love you if he's listening to this. He'll be saying, who's that guy on the podcast? Whenever you bring up a new series, he just shits all over it.
No, he won't. He'll be going, oh, that guy sounds really interesting. He sounds like he qualifies his opinions and that he doesn't just like everything because it's put in front of him.
Oh, yeah, because I like everything. What do you think of Jaws, Matt? Oh, I don't, you know, the shark wasn't very realistic, was it?
It's a stunning film.
Okay, so that's The Good Place.
Absolutely.
So the Ozark season two and the Sinner season two are the two things that we
can I make a suggestion?
Wrap up with, yes, dear.
We're at 45 minutes.
That's right. Yep.
I'm happy to. I haven't watched either of Ozark season two or Sinner season two.
Right.
But I'm happy to try them both.
Oh,
let's give that. All right. We'll do Ozark, Sinner, Norseman.
Right.
Next week.
You promise you'll watch a bit of Norseman, Jamie? Get it on tonight.
I promise.
Okay.
I promise.
All right. Good.
And I would like you both to promise to watch just Dalton's performance on The X Factor this weekend. Dalton Harris. You can watch it on YouTube. Just tell me that you're not impressed.
The things he's criticised are now recommending X Factor. Phenomenal.
Look, I got slated for watching The Apprentice last week.
I've watched a bit of that as well. But look, I acknowledge it.
Are you watching I'm a Celebrity, Matthew? That's just started.
No, I draw the line that I'm a celebrity.
Noel Edmonds in it.
No, Noel Edmonds.
I've not watched it, but I'm tempted just for that.
That's another reason.
Okay, thank you both. And don't forget, if you want a T-shirt for Christmas...
I'm going to make a brief shout-out for anyone who's listening who's a parent of children about the same age as my daughter, who's 4 going on 5, is that the new Netflix She-Ra is really worth a watch.
Okay. You don't need to recommend it to children. I mean, I'm there.
No, seriously. I mean, I'm considering it because my daughter has this frustrating thing where she'll just skip through. She'll skip from one episode to another. She likes going to the list and picking one. Mm. She doesn't feel any need to watch them in order or not watch the same one 8 times.
Yeah.
So I'm actually considering watching it without her.
Wow. You've made me play my ending music 3 times now, Matt. So we'll just wrap up if that's it. Is that it?
Sorry, that's no. it.
Brilliant. Bye. So don't forget, if you're looking for a great Christmas present, why not go to the box set? What's our email? What's our website, Jamie? Theboxsetpod.com. Theboxsetpod.com/Jesus Christ. Theboxsetpod.com. On the front page there, you can click on the merch and you will find some lovely stuff like The Walking Dead done in Disney style. Just do it. Thanks, fellas.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye.